Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the destruction of Babylon as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now to Jeremiah chapter 50. Chapter 50 begins with the words, "The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet." The end of chapter 51 declares, "And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah." In other words, this is the completion of the words of Jeremiah. Now, I only bring that up to show you the idiocy of what is known as higher criticism, because this is one of the passages of Scripture of whose authorship is questioned by these men who call themselves the higher critics. They challenge the authorship of Jeremiah of these particular two chapters. The reason, of course, for the challenge is that Jeremiah gives some pretty interesting facts concerning the destruction of Babylon and the fall of Babylon, and this is 65 years before the fall of Babylon. How could he know that that's the way it was going to happen? So surely Jeremiah could not have written it. And though Jeremiah declares it at the beginning of chapter 50 there, by Jeremiah the prophet, and he concludes it by saying, "Thus far are the words of Jeremiah," these men who declare themselves to be Bible scholars of great intellectual prowess challenge the authorship of Jeremiah of this particular passage. Well, I have little or no respect, and that's putting it in a very positive way, for these men who claim to have such great understanding and all of the Bible, who take as their chief concern the challenging of everything in the Bible. It's a stupid waste of time. Now, the problem is, if you go to seminary or most seminaries today to study the Bible, when you study in Jeremiah, you will spend more time in their stupid speculations of why Jeremiah did not write these last two chapters than you will the study of the book of Jeremiah. And that's what the study of Jeremiah amounts to in so many seminaries today, of how that it really wasn't Jeremiah that wrote it. And that is just, again, a waste of time and a waste of money. I get so upset with these things that I just, and these fellows, I'd like to just do what Jeremiah told Zariah to do with the book, tie a rock around it and throw it in the river Euphrates and say, "Thus shall Babylon sink." And I'd like to tie a millstone about their necks and toss them in with the book. Of course, Jesus would be there cheering me on. For he said concerning those that would turn away the faith of a child, it were better for them that a millstone be hung around their neck and they tossed in the Sea of Galilee than to offend the faith or one of these little ones who believe in me. And these men who have destroyed the faith of so many young students, who have gone to seminary to study the Word of God, only to find that their faith in God has been destroyed through their seminary experience, I would like to take each one of those PhDs and follow the advice of the Lord. So the word that the Lord spake against Babylon. Now, these are not really the words of Jeremiah. These are the words that the Lord has spoken, but Jeremiah was the instrument through which God spoke the words. We so often make the statement, well, Jeremiah said, and that's probably a wrong way to put it. In the New Testament, we find that when David was quoting the Psalms, so often, rather than, Peter was quoting the Psalms of David. Peter would usually say, and the Holy Spirit spake by the mouth of David, saying, attributing the true authorship to the Holy Spirit, recognizing that David was only the instrument through which the Spirit spoke, so that Jeremiah was the instrument through which the Spirit gave forth the word. So the word of the Lord against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. The Lord said to Jeremiah, declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal it not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. The Lord, the word means Lord, and is the chief god of. And Merodach, another god of the Babylonians, Marduk, is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Now, as Jeremiah prophesies the destruction of Babylon, this is one of those interesting areas of Scripture where there is a twofold fulfillment. There is the actual destruction of Babylon as is prophesied here in these passages of Scripture. But then there is that looking forward into the yet future. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, where the Lord takes up again the destruction of Babylon, but he is talking in Revelation 17 and 18 of spiritual Babylon, the false religious system of the last days and the great commercial system of the last days. So in Revelation 17, the fall of the religious Babylonian system. In chapter 18, the fall of the commercial system, which are titled Babylon in a spiritual sense, which means confusion. And so it is interesting that as you read Jeremiah 50, 51, where he tells of the destruction and the fall of Babylon, that some of these passages are parallel passages to Revelation 17 and 18. No doubt John, in his writing, of course, familiar with Jeremiah, and the Lord speaking again through John of the destruction of the religious system of Babylon and the commercial Babylon, uses some of the same phrases that are used here as God here predicts the judgment of God that is coming upon this great nation, the first world governing empire, and perhaps the greatest of all world governing empires, and how it's going to be totally dissolved. Now, you remember when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream and he saw the image, it had the head of gold. And he said, thou, O Nebuchadnezzar, art the head of gold, in that your kingdom is superior to all kingdoms. But your kingdom is going to be replaced by an inferior kingdom, inasmuch as silver is inferior to gold. And you saw the chest of silver, your kingdom will be replaced by an inferior kingdom. And so the Babylonian kingdom, the greatest kingdom in the history of the world, and yet so thoroughly destroyed according to the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, that I dare say none of you have met a Babylonian. And if you did, you wouldn't know it. Because as a race of people, they do not exist anymore. as God's word said, they would be completely wiped out. They were. It said the city of Babylon would be left to ruins. It would be a place for jackals and owls and so forth. And if you go there today, you'll find it's just a place of ruins, wild animals dwelling among the ruins of a once great city, perhaps one of the greatest cities in the world, 12 miles square, surrounded by walls that were 300 feet high and 80 feet thick, and a city of beautiful gardens and glory, the glory of Babylon. But God declares he's going to bring destruction upon her. Now, in those days, when God brings his destruction against Babylon, God also declares that he is going to bring again his people from their captivity. Now, again, there is a twofold fulfillment. The prophecy has both its near and yet its yet future fulfillment. Because when the religious Babylon system is destroyed and the commercial Babylon system destroyed and the Lord comes again, he is going to gather together his people from all over the world, and they're going to come and dwell there in Jerusalem. And so there is a twofold fulfillment of these prophecies that deal with Babylon and the regathering of God's people. And what took place in history is only sort of a type of what will yet take place in the future, as there is a twofold fulfillment to these prophecies. So when Babylon is destroyed, in those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come and the children of Judah together. Now, Israel was the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. Judah was the 2 tribes of the southern kingdom. And the Lord said that when Babylon is destroyed, they are going to come together. There are those today who try to identify the Anglo-Saxon race of people with the tribes of Israel, and they have a phrase which they call the 10 lost tribes. That is not really a scriptural phrase. Actually, the Bible speaks of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but not lost tribes. They're not lost. They never have been lost. God's always known where they were. And it would be wrong for God to talk of them as lost tribes. So he doesn't. But they try to identify the Anglo-Saxons, so the Danish people, they say, are the tribe of Dan, settled in Denmark. And of course, it's close to Denmark. And so they say that the word ish in Hebrew is man. So Danish people are Dan's men. And then, of course, they try to identify Sweden and England and all as other tribes. Of course, Joseph Smith had an interesting Nephi and so forth, you know, came across the Pacific in these reed rafts and settled in South America. And so the Indians and so forth are the lost tribes. And yet, at this time, they were brought together, both Israel and Judah. It is prophesied that they would come together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. So this marvelous restoration was promised, that though they had been driven away from the land, held and taken captive by Babylon, the day would come when with weeping they would return to seek the Lord. And they shall ask the way to Zion. Actually, most of them were born in Babylon, had never seen Zion before, so really had no way to get there. So as they were journeying, they would be asking people directions and how to get there. They shall Ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward or turned towards Zion, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. The reason for their being exiled was they had forgotten the covenant of God. They had forsaken the covenant of God and turned and worshiped other gods. But now the commitment to go back and to worship God in this perpetual covenant. My people, God declares, have been lost sheep, still owning them as his people. Even though they have failed, even though they've been taken captive, God still recognizes as my people have been lost sheep. But their problem was their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. So God places the blame upon the shepherds. James said, be not many masters, knowing that you will receive a greater condemnation. God has some very unkind things to say about false prophets and false shepherds and people who pretend or presume to speak in the name of the Lord, but whose real motive is only their own well-being and enrichment, who seek not the welfare of the flock of God, but really seek their own welfare above everything else. And God has some very heavy indictments against those kind of shepherds. The shepherds causing them to go astray, causing them to distrust the word of God, causing them to distrust God himself. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we're not offending because they've sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. For lo, I will rise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. All of Chaldea shall be spoiled, and all that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord, because they were glad and they rejoiced in their destruction of God's heritage, because you've grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness and a dry land and a desert. This nation that was once the glory of the earth is going to become barren. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow and shoot at her. Spare not arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her. As she hath done, do it unto her. Now that's a phrase that also comes up in Revelation 18 as God speaks of the destruction of that commercial system of Babylon. As she has done, do double, he declares, unto her. So here the destruction of Babylon is predicted. The walls are to be destroyed. Walls, again, as we made mention, were 300 feet high and 80 feet thick. Yet the prophet Jeremiah had the audacity to say, they're going to tear down the walls. They did. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. Now that's Israel, that's the northern kingdom. That is not Judah, the southern kingdom. And in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. That to me is a beautiful passage of Scripture. In that day, you'll look for their sins, but you can't find them. Not because they don't exist, but because God has pardoned them.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 50 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and give you a beautiful week. May he watch over you and protect and shield you from the evil that is so prevalent in this world in which we live. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, just that beautiful, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon your heart and your life all week long as you live with him and for him.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.